Good morning. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We've come to that portion of the program where I'm to introduce the speaker. And if you look in your program, you'll see an extensive bio of Dr. Glenelle Marie Lee Pruitt. And we call the whole name. Growing up in that small mid-Delta town, made sure you didn't get anybody confused, so we called the whole name so you knew who we were talking about. And Dr. Pruitt, the Reverend Dr. Glenelle Marie Pruitt, is the fourth generation AME born in Grenada, Mississippi. Her father was an itinerant elder and her mother a lifetime member of the Women's Missionary Society. She attended Jackson State University, where she earned her Bachelor's of Social Work degree and her PhD in Social Work. Temple University, where she earned her Master's of Social Work degree, and Payne Theological Seminary, where she earned her Master of Divinity. She's an ordained elder in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and she has served in ministry for 25 years. Since August of 2012, Dr. Pruitt has served as vice president in Hawkins, Texas. Prior to this appointment, she served as the dean of the University College from July 2006 to August of 2008. The director of Renaissance Learning Program and Adult Education Program, and as a tenured assistant professor in the Department of Social Work at Mississippi Valley State University. And on May 18th, 2023, Dr. Pruitt was appointed as the 13th president of Jarvis Christian University. Dr. Pruitt would want me to make sure that I said that she is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated. But the Dr. Pruitt that I want to talk about this morning and I want to introduce you to, and it appears and it makes me feel like I'm the mother of Dr. Pruitt, along with a couple of others that came up under us at Jackson State University. Dr. Pruitt and I were talking the other day, and we talked about growing up in one of the most impoverished areas of Mississippi, and it's called the Mississippi Delta, where it's known for catfish, cotton, and now the cash crop is soybeans. And my first introduction to, I'd say my spiritual awakening, happened at St. James AME Methodist Church, where Dr. Pruitt's father was the minister at the time. And so when we talk about building the foundation started there. We started there, but then the Baptists won out over at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church. But as we talk about a foundation, we grew up in an area where, you know the story of Emmett Till and all of that happened. But we grew up where teachers believed in us, and they made sure that we had a foundation. They made sure it may have been not a lot of things that we didn't have, but we knew how to read, write, and do arithmetic. And so when we went off to our Alcorns and our Jackson States and our valleys, we were able to write sentences. We were able to do the English and do the math to make sure that we were able to be successful. But that foundation started in those churches where they took stock in us. They made sure. They didn't tell us that we could. They said that we would. And so that's how we did it. And so when we talk about reaching back to grab one and you bring them forward, there was no question that when Dr. Pruitt and another one of my friends is here today, they were freshmen and we were seniors. And they never got to live the freshman life in terms of living in the freshman dorms. Because when they came to Jackson State, they had somewhere to stay. So they stayed with the bigger sisters. And so we were responsible for them while they were there. And I'm telling you, their moms called us, and they called me a little bit more than they called the other person. But as I look back on that, I think about the foundation that was laid for us. And when we left, they built on that foundation for the others that came that way. And so in that small community, we learned to take care of each other. We learned how to love on each other. And we made ourselves available to each other. And so today, as I stand here, and I was talking to Dr. Pruitt, and we said, could anything good come up out of the Mississippi Delta? And we said, yeah. Because out of that Delta, out of St. James, AME Methodist, came two presidents. Dr. Gerald Woolfolk was the president of Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri. And now we have Dr. Glenel Marie Lee Pruitt, who is the president of Jarvis Christian University. And we have doctors, we have lawyers, we have attorneys, we have all kinds of walks in life that came through that Delta. And so not only was the Delta beneficial, it had good soil. And the good soil started on those foundations where we built those. And so I am honored this morning to introduce my friend. And I'll put it this way. The daughter of Reverend William and Bertha Lee. If you will please stand as I introduce our speaker. The Reverend Dr. Glenel Marie Pruitt, the baby girl of Reverend William and Bertha Lee, and who has been named the 13th president of Jarvis Christian University. Will you welcome Dr. Lee as she comes? Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. Amen. 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 To Reverend Dr. Freeman, we were almost a little late this morning because when I got in this office, we started talking like preachers talk, and we had to catch ourselves. One thing I love about being a part of the clergy, and especially the African-American clergy, we are sisters and we are brothers. No denomination can separate us, for we are all on the battlefield. Amen for the Lord. I want to thank your pastor for his radical hospitality and for all of your kindness, of all the members who have been so kind. I tell you, this is a friendly church. From the moment I walked in, folk were smiling, and all I can say to y'all, keep doing what you're doing. I tell you, it's exciting, and I thank God for you, too. First Lady Freeman, who I understand, if she's not in here, she's in the back working, cooking. Amen. We thank God for that. Amen. But we want to acknowledge her as well. To Reverend Dr. Brian, our worship leader, and other ministers and clergy who may either be here or may be in the pulpit, in the pew, we acknowledge you this morning. Other worship participants, to the officers and members of this wonderful church, this historic church, thank you so very much again for your kindness. To my homegirls, Jackie Gales. Now, who else would put your whole name on an announcement but your homegirl? Glenel Marie. And I take pride in saying Glenel M, but my whole name is out there now. But Jackie, thank you so much. Everything that she said to you this morning is so true. We didn't have a lot, but we were never told what we couldn't do. We were raised in a community where we could walk back and forth safely as long as we were in the house when the street lights came on. We were in a community where we felt safe and loved, and we believed we could do anything. because no one ever told us that we couldn't. And so I am so grateful for the friendship of Sister Jackie Gales and her love and her support over the years. And I thank you for submitting my name to Dr. Freeman to be with you all today. Amen. It's an honor when friends will call upon you at such a time as this. Allow me also to acknowledge, however, we have a couple of homegirls who came down from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Robbie and Doreen, who are here, and my new friend Giovanni. I met him last night. Amen. Who have come. Robbie and I are classmates. We graduated high school together from Leland High School. I will not tell you the year. You can probably figure it out. But I'm glad to see you, Robbie, and glad to see everyone who has come. Allow me a second to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, who we will be remembering on tomorrow, for giving their lives that we can have the measure of freedom that we have in this country. And if there are any of you who have lost loved ones, we say we thank you. For not only did they give a sacrifice, but you gave a sacrifice as well. And I think I would be remiss as a Christian clergy if I did not acknowledge that today is Pentecost Sunday, when Jesus is promised that he was going to send the Holy Ghost became a reality. Amen. And fire filled the place, and everyone there was filled, amen, with the Holy Ghost. And for you all who are well educated, the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, Dr. Freeman. Amen. On this morning, will you pray with me? Most gracious and holy God, we thank you for everything that has taken place under the unction of your Holy Spirit this morning. For every prayer, for every scripture, for every word. Lord, we thank you for this choir that has sung your songs with such spirit, Lord, that we have felt it shut up in our bones. And we say thank you. Now, Lord, here I am, a wretch undone, prepared to stand and do what you've called me to do. Be with us, Lord, in this preaching moment, that we may proclaim a word that will go forth and that will not return void until it has accomplished what you've already foreordained for it to accomplish. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. By the power of grace divine, let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will join me, I have attempted to be true to your scripture and to your theme. Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 13th through the 16th verses. And I'll be using the New Revised Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then if you would go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 10th and 11th verses. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ." Christ. I'd like to preach for the few moments that I have from the topic this morning, Women of God Under Construction, Trust in Jesus the Rock. Women of God Under Construction, Trust in Jesus the Rock. The theme you have chosen for today is quite intriguing. It suggests that although the work is not complete, but is expected to be completed, it is under construction. When something is under construction, it is being built, it is being changed, it is being improved, it is being modified and altered and adjusted, it is being developed, assembled, and manufactured. One important aspect of construction or being under construction is to ensure that what is being constructed is built on a solid foundation. Foundations are important when buildings are built. As a matter of fact, the foundation of a building is laid first. It is upon that foundation that the other parts of the structure are built. There are reportedly two types of foundations. There are shallow foundations, and there are deep foundations. The deep foundations transfer the building load to earth further down than the shallow foundation, from the surface to a subsurface layer that is called bedrock. Bedrock is substratum. Bedrock is the base. Bedrock is the bottom. If a foundation is shallow, if the foundation is not strong, there will be other problems in the house or in the structure. There will be problems because when hurricane force winds come, when torrential rains come, the structure will not be able to handle the elements of the storm, and there will be utter destruction if you're not careful. But if the foundation is deep, the winds may blow, the hurricanes may come, the rains may come, the floods may come, but the foundation will still support the structure. Women of God, while we're under construction, we better make sure that we have the foundation that is built on the rock. In your thematic text, we see Jesus making it clear the basis of the foundation of our spiritual lives and our spiritual selves. And that is what we're referencing today when you're with your theme of being under construction. Jesus is surveying what the street committee is saying about him, and he is getting the report from the disciples. What are the people saying about me? Who are the people saying that I am? The disciples, of course, are about to rattle off a few names. Some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah. Jesus, understanding that if the disciples are rattling out what the people are saying, they are thinking and saying something too. You all do know that if folk can tell you what other folk are saying, then they've been in the conversation about you as well. Jesus then asked the question, but who do you say that I am? I hear what they are saying, but what and who do you say that I'm? You've been with me. You've seen me heal the sick and raise the dead. Who do you say that I am? You've been with me. You've seen me feed the 5,000 and turn right around and feed another 4,000. Who do you say that I am? You've been with me. You know who I am. You've been with me. You've seen me walk on water and you've heard my parables. Who do you say that I am? It appears in the text that Peter is the only disciple that responds. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus asked what others were saying, they responded. But when Jesus asked the more piercing and probing question about their personal testimony. Only one of them responded. Peter declares aloud, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the one that the prophets talked about. You are the one that is a descendant of David. You are the descendant of Tamar and Rahab and Bathsheba and Mary. You are the one that John leaped in his mother's womb about. You are the I am that I am. You are the one that Isaiah foretold. You are the Christ. You are the rock. You are the Son of the living God. You are the one we've been waiting on." Jesus responds to Peter, "You are correct, Peter." And upon this foundational truth, upon this testimony, upon this realization of who I am, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against. I'll build my church, not the church building, but I'll build the church people. Who will follow me and who will do what I ask them to do here on earth. Women of God, that is the foundation that has lasted for centuries. That is the foundation that brought our ancestors over. That is the foundation that kept Mama and Big Mama and Nana and Annie and Big Sister Nim going. When they didn't have anything to keep going for, that is the foundation that they stood on and lived on and stayed on so that we could have a foundation. It is said that the twin towers of the World Trade Center were built on a deep foundation paradigm. They were structured in what was called a bathtub. That was some 700 feet below the ground. The building had been tested for all kinds of possible disasters that could come to the Twin Towers. That was what they called a wind challenge. Because the buildings were so high, they posed a new kind of structural problem. The foundation and structure needed to be support not only for the 1,300 foot tall building, but also the winds that would blow from the New York Harbor. So the structural engineers placed in the Twin Towers super strong lattice of exterior steel columns placed less than 2 feet apart and locked tightly together at every floor, which made each tower what they called a giant tube. The steel outer structure could resist the 150 mile per hour winds during the wind challenge. And that meant that if strong winds persisted, the building would bend, but it would not collapse. But on September 11th, 2001, on a beautiful day with a blue sky and the sun beaming bright, it was not the wind from the New York Harbor that brought down the Twin Towers. It was the unexpected tragedy of two planes that tore into the building. Yes, there were lost lives, especially those that were above the impact of the plane, but because the towers had a deep foundation, because they were built on bedrock, many more lives were saved and the building stood long enough for thousands to escape before its ultimate collapse. The builders were able to stand longer because of the strong foundation. Women of God, we must make sure that while we are walking this faith walk, while we are under constructions, that we have the stronger foundation. Women of God, we must make sure that while we are walking this faith walk, while we are under construction, that we know who Jesus is. Not what others are saying, not what others have said, not what others may say. We need to know who Jesus is for ourselves. We need to know and trust Jesus the rock as our foundation. I'm a Mississippian. But there's a commercial in Texas that talks about a building's foundation being checked out by the ocean man. In this commercial, sitting on the couch is a couple with Nolan Ryan. also known as the Ryan Express. Sitting in the middle of them, and behind them is a wall with a big crack from the ceiling to the floor. Nolan Ryan asked him, how long will you live with that crack in the wall? He then tells them that cracks are bad and that they need to call the old Shane man. Then the commercial fades to the representative, who says that if you call them, you can have a deeper, stronger, more reliable foundation. Then it fades back to the couple, and the wife says, thanks, old Shane man. Today, women of God, we don't have to call the old Shane man to see if our foundation is in good order. We don't have to call the old Shane man to check our foundation, because we know who to call to ensure that our spiritual foundation is deeper and stronger and reliable while we are under construction. We are very clear that our foundation is laid on the rock, and that rock is Jesus. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the, somebody know the song, the solid rock. That's why we need to make sure that our foundation is the rock. That's why we need to make sure that we cleave to the rock. That's why we need to make sure that we stand on the rock. That's why we have to make sure that we know the rock of ages. I don't know about you, but when the winds blow and the floods come and the rain falls in my life, I find myself singing in my spirit that old familiar hymn that reminds us of the foundation that was laid before it was laid. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us and focused his love on us to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is what we should be standing on. I don't care what it looks like. If it is not Jesus, it will not stand. I don't care what it sounds like. If it ain't talking about Jesus, it will not stand. Women of God, while you're under construction, you're going to have some storms. Storms are coming. Storms of sickness, of financial problems, or rejection, or uncertainty, or disappointment, or disillusionment, or letdown, of bad decisions, of bad relationships, of social injustice, of political corruption, of epidemics, and pandemics, storms of this and storms of that will come. Just because your construction may be taking place on a strong foundation does not exempt you from having a storm. But this is what happens when the storm comes, when you're on a firm foundation. If you're built on the right foundation, you'll survive the storm. Now you're going to have some storm damage. Let me tell you now, the roof may be blown off your house, but the house will still stand. Yeah. Your house may be flooded, but the house will still stand. The shingles may come off, but the house will still stand if you're built on the right foundation. I heard a preacher tell the story recently about a young man who was on a ship that had been in a strong storm and had been shipwrecked. Some of those on the ship lost their lives. But when this young man was found, He was found clinging to a rock. After he had been rescued, someone asked him if, during the storm, if he was scared. The young man said that he was shaking the whole time. But the rock he was clinging to never moved. So he just kept clinging to the rock. Construction is disruptive. Construction is distractive. Construction is dangerous. Construction is daunting. But construction is necessary. And construction is sometimes needed. You see, as long as we are on this journey, women of God, we are under construction. Because every day the Lord is taking something we don't need and adding something that we do need in order to bring us closer to Him. But whatever the situation is, while we're under construction, we must continue to cling to the rock. And we must continue to trust in Jesus, the rock. That's what the women in the Bible did. Mary carried the rock. Elizabeth's son praised the rock. Mary, Lazarus' sister, anointed the rock. Martha served the rock. The woman with the issue of blood was healed by the rock. The Syrophoenician woman worshipped the rock. The woman at the well encountered the rock. Mary Magdalene worshipped the resurrected rock. The widow at Nain was blessed by the rock. The daughter of Jairus was raised by the rock. The widow who gave her mite was seen by the rock. And the woman taken in the adultery was released by the rock. I don't know about you, my sisters, but my hope is in the rock. My hope is in the man who stilled the water and calmed the seas. My hope is in the man who healed the sick and raised the dead. My hope is in the man who had the big tent. He included women and children and lepers and liars and cussers and cripples and the demon possessed and people with issues. My hope is in the man who gave up his life for my sin and for your sin. He is the sure foundation. He is the solid foundation. He is the firm foundation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand all on the ground. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. My degree, sinking sand. My presidency, sinking sand. My work, sinking sand. But oh Christ, so while you're under construction, women of God, you make sure you got your foundation straight. It don't matter who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what sorority you belong to. I don't care whether they call you doctor or reverend or miss or sister. I don't care what the situation is. I'm telling you, trust in Jesus the rock. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. I don't know about you, but I trust in God. Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, for come with me from day to day, my heavenly Father.
The pastor's out of his seat. We're all on our feet because we've heard the word. Amen. Sister Glenelle Marie Lee Pruitt told us from the beginning, this is Pentecost. This is the day the Spirit abided with us. And we realize that that Spirit is still waiting. Jesus is a rock, and we have to trust in the rock for our salvation. And if you'd like to surrender your life to Christ, today is a mighty good day to do that. God desires to have a relationship with each one of us, and He offers us a fresh start with a new life through Christ. If you're willing to receive this kind of grace in your life, accept this invitation to Christian discipleship. And we all have a testimony. And it's on that testimony that the rock of our salvation stands. How long, the Reverend said, will you leave that crack in your life? Come to Jesus while you have time. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join with the family of God here at Ebenezer. Or we'll help you find a church home. What's important is that Christ welcomes you. Welcomes you with open arms. And so do we. Come forward and accept Him now. Please stand. So I'm a servant of You, Lord. This is my heart. So.
Sometimes I'm almost
No one has come, but the cross still stands.